Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness, looking today at current events in the light of Bible prophecy. You know, some people don't read the newspapers at all. They don't watch the news. They kind of go into a little shell. Some Christians I'm talking about. But I don't do that because it all speaks to me that the Lord is coming. And I want to know the signs that He spoke of, the signs that the Bible speaks of. I believe we're supposed to watch and pray. I got a letter from one of my young friends, Julie, in Florida. She's 12 or 13 years old, and she is the niece of my son, Terry, and his wife, Lynn. She visited us last summer, and so we got an email from her, and she said this: "Here in Florida, it's been kind of weird. I mean, odd. Because of all the weather, for the past week or so, it's been raining nonstop." Now, I'm quite sure that Julie doesn't watch this broadcast, and I know she hasn't probably noticed what Jesus said about the weather in Luke 21 and Matthew 24, but she's just noticing herself. And that is the case really all over the world. I told you I'm just back from Hong Kong and just back from seeing people in Australia who had ministry in Myanmar or Burma. And the weather all over the world, right here in our own home state, they're watching a river crest. Last night, I watched on the news that they're not letting anybody sandbag this town that they're trying to save, other than the National Guard or, you know, first people that are trained, like the firemen and police and so on and so forth, because even a 2-inch wake of a boat passing by could cause the levee to break. And so there's lots of heartache, lots of things been happening, so we see these things that are happening and we watch because Jesus said it would be a sign of the times. Now I'm reading from Debkafile, Debkafile. You can go online and read their things yourself, but they have Syrians and UN nuclear inspectors are playing hide-and-seek as their headline. The three-man International Atomic Energy Agency team, which inspected the El Kibar site bombed by Israel last September, returned to Vienna Wednesday, June 25th, with soil and building materials, samples gathered secretly without Syrian knowledge. From the Syrians, they received different samples, said to have been collected at a site which they insisted was a military facility under construction. Now, last September, we had a tour. We called it our Rosh Hashanah tour, and we were in Israel when Israel bombed this Syrian facility. It was really strange. We saw the planes flying overhead, and then there was much stir in the nation, but all the headlines and everybody said nothing really happened, you know, or we took out this or we did that. We heard all kinds of stories. Israel and the United States were very hush-hush about what happened. The news has come out, as we've reported here before, that they really took out a nuclear facility. Now, not only, this report's intelligence sources say, not only Syrians, but also Iranians and North Koreans were employed in building the facility. Now that's very strange, since today the United States has taken the heat off of the North Koreans, and we are believing them that they're going to stop all their nuclear activity and we're going to have trade with them, and we have stated that they are not a terrorist nation anymore. Well, if they were working their nuclear things in Syria, we have to keep an eye on them, and surely our leaders will do such a thing. This El Kibar reactor in Syria, which was taken out by the Israelis, was intended to be a component of Iran's nuclear program. Iran's use of plutonium in its weapons projects was to be concealed by having it produced in Syria. Now, this report is from the London Daily, The Guardian. On June 25th, it quoted an advisor to Israel's National Security Council as saying, quote, "The Iranians were involved in the Syrian program. The idea was that the Syrians produce plutonium and the Iranians get their share. Defqafile says war tensions between Israel and Iran have shot up in the last few days on the strength of reported Israeli preparations for an attack on Iran's nuclear installations. They were scrambling. The jets were in the air, and the report was that they were getting ready for an attack. I saw one report that said that drove up oil prices, just the fact that the Israelis were in the air. So there are threats from Iran. I read another report, which I didn't bring to read to you, that high officials there are saying that if there's any kind of an attack against us, or even looks like an attack, it's a done deal that we're going to make a fireball of the Middle East. So we watch these things. Now, how do they fit in the light of Bible prophecy? To tell you the real truth, I cannot find that Iran is wiped out by any kind of an attack from anyone. And I do see here that in the last days, Prophet Ezekiel says, and we've talked about this a lot in Ezekiel 38 and 39, that there will be an alliance between Russia and Persia and certain other nations, and they will come down into Israel. It says here in verse 8 of chapter 38, after many days you shall be visited in the latter years, is the way the King James calls it. In the end of days is what the Jews call the end of time. Not the end of time, but the end of this age. Thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which had always been waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Now, it says that you're going to come down, Russia and Iran, and an alliance of nations are going to come down into Israel, into the mountains of Israel, into the land that's brought back from the sword. Well, we, of course, know that that is Israel. They've been brought back. Hitler, who is going to wipe them all out, is gone, and they're back in their land. And it says here in Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 9, thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Seems like it would be an air attack. When we go to Israel, we always go to Mount Carmel, where is the place that Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal. And that's the Carmel mountain range. And it looks down over this broad valley that goes across the whole state of Israel. I think it's about 20 miles long. It has several names. It has one of its names is the Jezreel Valley, which has to do with how fertile it is. And another name is the Valley of Armageddon. Megiddo is a city on a high hill. It was a city of Solomon's. And Har in Hebrew is mountain. So Har Megiddo, it's the valley next to the mountain that Megiddo sits on. So they call it the Valley of, when it was, the New Testament was translated into Greek, they called it Armageddon. So we always go up there and stand, and we look down on that plain where the northernmost Israeli Air Force is entrenched, really. It's underground. It's the strangest thing. We stand there and it looks like the planes come flying out of the ground, and the fighter jets I'm talking about, and then it looks like they land under the ground. So that's always a place where I teach when we go on our tours, and we invite you to go with us. I always teach there about this Ezekiel 38 and 39 because I believe that's the likely place they could land if they're going to come in an air attack. Now, verse 10 says, thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into your mind, and you shall think an evil thought. Speaking of Russia, have you noticed how things have changed in Russia? How hard line it's gotten there? And thou shalt say, Russia has as its ally Iran, thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without bars and having neither bars nor gates. Now, here I don't see things like a lot of really great prophecy teachers, better than I am, see things. They see that right here there's going to be a time of peace in Israel. Very wonderful peace in which the Israelis don't suspect a thing, and then suddenly there's an attack that comes from Russia and Iran. I don't see it that way. I've been going to Israel since 1986. I think tonight, if Iran promised they would never, ever, ever do another nuclear thing, and all the states around Israel, Islam hasn't gone away. And I don't believe that they'll be in such a state. Now, here's what I think those unwalled villages mean. The Hebrew word, and I'm reading from Zechariah, David Baron, Zechariah. You can get it online from us. It's wonderful commentary. And he says, now he's speaking of perizzot in the book of Zechariah, but this word translated unwalled villages is perizzot. And he said, perizzot is rendered in the AV, towns without walls, and in the RV, villages. But the word strictly describes plains or an open country in which there is nothing to circumscribe the inhabitants or to prevent them from spreading themselves abroad. Thus, in Ezekiel 38:11, it is used of the land where people dwell in peace and prosperity without walls, bolts, and gates, in contrast to those in walled cities. And in Esther 9:19, the inhabitants of the perizzot, the unprotected towns and villages, are distinguished from those living in the fortified capital of Susa. It denotes a condition of confidence, since in danger men resort to strong cities and fortified towns. The Jews, only in the 20th century, started living outside the walls of Jerusalem. When Montefiore came and built a big windmill there and built a village for them to live in and said, hey, come on outside the walls. It's dangerous in there. There's where you're getting disease. So it's only been in the last 100 years or so that the Jews lived in unwalled villages. I believe this is just telling us of a time. Now, I do believe there's a peace coming, but it'll be with the Antichrist. And until that one comes, I don't think they'll ever feel that they are really in total without in an absence of war. But they are secure and confident, and they do live outside village walls in the plains. Another item I want to get before we go is the Kadima. At the last minute, Olmert's party voted to have an election within their party and not bring down the government. In other words, Olmert's out, but they don't want to give up the government coalition. And so Barack will probably be the head of that. People are not very happy with his doing this, but it looks like for a while they've saved the government again, but not saved Ehud Olmert. And so this is Billy Brim, and I'm so glad you're with us today. And I invite you to listen and be with us again tomorrow as we greet you right here from the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. Visit us online at billyebrim.org. Give us a call at 1-800-972-3447. Or you can write us at Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Shalom, shalom.